Good evening and welcome to our annual retreat. Well, it's not an annual, it might be a retreat for you, okay? Our annual novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We do this for 9 days, and please have you join as much as you're able. If you're able to be here all 9 days, that's wonderful. But please come and go as your schedule allows. Our theme this year comes from Pope Francis, who called this year to be a year of prayer in preparation for the Jubilee year of 2025. And so our talks will be centered on Our Lady and that year of prayer, of how she helps us to pray, how she leads us to pray, etc. If you are not able to come, or you have friends who aren't able to come, these talks will be recorded and eventually put on our website. So it's Sisters, plural, sistersihmofwichita.org. And there will also be a hard copy on the website as well, as soon as, you know, it all gets processed. It won't be instantaneous, but it will be there. And actually, there are past novena talks there as well. So if you are looking for particular topics, something we need to research or pray about, you might want to find a novena that will have those topics that you might be interested in. So tonight, for those of you who are new to our novena, every night we'll have a talk, and then we'll have a little time for refreshments, and then we'll come back for a Eucharistic Holy Hour and pray the novena prayer. If you are not able to be here each night, we do have out in the main hallway there by the front table a white piece of paper that has the novena prayer on it, so you can feel free to take that with you. Or it's also on our website. Lots of things on our website, you know. So mass times and announcements. So go exploring if you haven't. It's beautiful. There's a lot of information there about our community and who we are, and vocations, and some opportunities that you might want to enjoy with us. So we will get started. And so Sister Mary Ann will begin this evening, and we kick off our reflections on Our Lady and the year of prayer.
Well, good evening. Well, as Mother said, this year's novena is taken from Pope Francis's year of prayer in preparation for the Jubilee Year of Mercy next year. And so tonight I begin the novena with the rosary as the school of prayer, or as Pope John Paul called it, the school of Mary. So first to talk a little bit about, okay, prayer, what is it? Well, it's more than just saying a Hail Mary, which I should probably do right now to prime the pump. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, what is prayer essentially? Is a conversation with God. And we can also say that it would be loving awareness of God's presence. So if we look at it that way, then we can see that prayer is absolutely essential for being saved. Now, of course, that's because actually we need grace too, if you know what I mean. Well, here, I'll start over. Okay, so oftentimes we think of grace as a thing, but grace is a relationship. Okay, it's not spiritual electricity or spiritual gas. Grace is a share in God's life and his love. In other words, it's a relationship that we have with God. So if we say, although of course grace is a mystery, but we'd have to say that if we're going to grow in grace, we're saying we're growing in relationship with God. We're growing closer to him. Okay. And so I hope you can see that prayer is essential in that process of growing ever more close and united to God. Okay, so now, of course, it's God that initiates this conversation and relationship by loving us into existence. And we'd say after that, he also gives us the ability to enter in that conversation through the initial grace of conversion and our baptism and confirmation, in which case we receive the power to receive God's life into us, to grow in that relationship with God through the infused virtues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's a lot more than just saying a Hail Mary. Okay. So we could say the heights of prayer, of course, we would be getting into contemplation, which would be actually coming to that point where the heights of spiritual marriage in this life that can only be surpassed by getting to see God as he is in heaven or the beatific vision. Excuse me a moment. Okay, so obviously the main sources of grace are the sacraments. And the sacraments are basically what the liturgy is, or the liturgy surrounds the sacraments. And so we can also see that the liturgy is a prayer of its own, liturgical prayer or public worship of God or sharing in the work of God, the share of the people of God in the work of God. Okay, so obviously we need liturgical prayer, we need the sacraments to share in the life of God. But that would be like having a ladder with only one side. What do I mean? Is if you only are letting the sacraments, or just receiving the sacraments, but you're not really striving to increase your relationship with God, you're getting half of what you need. And what do I mean by that is, well, can you just imagine a ladder? Would you like to climb it? Like, let's change the lights or something. And you have one side of a ladder with a rung. Anybody game for that? No. Okay. So you need the other half of the ladder on it to stabilize it. And that is what we would call our own personal prayer. So this is, of course, going to be what fosters our ability to receive the grace that God pours into our souls through the sacraments. And, of course, it's also going to be our personal prayer that makes that grace bear fruit in our life. Okay, so I hope you can see just how important your personal prayer life is as part of the story. Okay, God made us without our consent, but he will not save us without our consent, without our entering the dialogue with him, to paraphrase St. Augustine. Now, if we go further, if we look at, okay, so prayer is building our relationship with God, a conversation with God, then we'd say that there are basically two kinds of prayer. And that would be vocal prayer. And by the way, that doesn't just mean saying things out loud. You could say vocal prayer silently. And okay, what? Okay, so if we'd say formula prayer, okay, that is something that's already written, already composed. And of course, the greatest of formula prayer would be the Our Father that Jesus himself taught us. Okay, so if you would, formula prayers. Now, the liturgy actually is formula prayer. Now, what is the beauty of formula prayer is that you can pray it with other people, right? I would say spontaneous prayer is also very good, where we just talk to God like, dear Jesus, help me, I am stuck right now. Okay, but I'm saying it out loud, spontaneous, but you're not you're not praying with me. You might be starting to pray for me, thank you. But you're just listening to me, right? But if I start the Hail Mary, you can all join in. The Our Father, we can all join in. And what we see in the liturgy, the liturgical prayer, the prayer of the Mass, the prayer of the other sacraments, is we can come together as a people of God, as the body of Christ, and join ourselves to Jesus, offering ourselves to the Father through Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's the greatest kind of prayer, the source and summit of the church's activities, the Eucharist, the Mass. Okay, now that would be liturgical prayer. Now the other type of formula prayer or vocal prayer would be what we call private or devotional prayer. And that's where we find the rosary. Now, again, these things aren't in competition with each other. And in fact, Pope Paul VI in Marialis Cultus talks about how the rosary and the Mass have the same exact purpose, and that is to bring us into contact and union with Jesus. Okay, so, and in fact, it's not liturgical prayer versus devotional prayer. He actually says that the rosary is the best way to prepare ourselves for liturgical prayer, and hence saying the rosary before Mass is a wonderful and perfect way to get ready, because you are going over the very mysteries that are going to unfold before us in the liturgy. Okay. Now, there's also, as I said, mental prayer. Mental prayer, of course, formal mental prayer would be a meditation. It would be like making an appointment with God, and we're going to show up and we're going to do it. So for us, it's during the school year, it's basically 5 o'clock. Is that right? 5. Okay. We're sleeping in this summer, so it isn't till 6. Yeah. What a difference an hour makes, right? Okay. Anyway, but it's an appointment we have with God. It's formal mental prayer. We're going to go, if you would, sit down and converse with God, in commune with God. Now, there's also what we'd call informal prayer. And that would be like aspirations, like, oh, God, help. You know, informal mental prayer will always occur as long as there are math tests. You know what I mean? Okay. All right. Or what was the, oh, well, never mind. But informal mental prayer can be just, I call it blowing a kiss at God. It's just remember that he's there and that he loves you and you love him back. It can also be aspiration like Sacred Heart of Jesus, be my love, or something like that. It can also be what we call the devotion to the present moment, is again just regularly throughout the day recognizing God's presence. I think one of the talks you'll be hearing later in the week will be outlining that. Okay, so I need to keep track of my time. Okay, so in saying that, again, let's not oppose mental prayer with vocal prayer, in the sense that if vocal prayer is real prayer, there's some element of mental prayer in it. Okay, otherwise it would be what Jesus says or condemns as vain repetition, right? If we're just doing parrot talk, we might be saying all kinds of words, but our heart, our mind needs to be engaged with it. Okay, so with that, I hope you can see that the rosary has both elements in it. Yes, there is the vocal formula prayer, but there's also the meditation on the mysteries of the rosary that go together. They're married, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Now, we also have, what are the four ends of prayer? Why do we pray? And that would be, the highest, of course, would be adoration. But that's usually not where we start. Usually we start with a supplication, right, or petition. God, please help me. God, please heal this person. God, give me this, whatever. So we usually start with the lowercase. And by the way, that is not bad prayer. That is very good prayer. In fact, if you look at the Our Father, much of the Our Father is that petition prayer. But we also see the highest form of prayer is adoration, worshiping God because he's all good and deserving of all love, because of his infinite mercy that he's shown us every day of our life, and just worshiping him because he deserves it. Okay? We also have contrition. I'm sorry for my sins and offending God, and I firmly resolve to do better. And then, of course, there is the prayer of thanksgiving. And we see all four of these ends of prayer wrapped up in the Mass and also wrapped up in the Rosary. With the Our Father, we are asking God, petitioning God, as well as contrition, you know, forgive me my sins as I forgive others. In the Hail Mary, we have that awe and wonder of Our Lady in her Magnificat, her prayer of thanksgiving and adoration. And then, of course, we have the doxology, that adoration and glory that ends each of the decades. We also can say, besides the four reasons why we pray, is we also have the four reasons or the four ways that prayer can be powerful. Obviously, Mary just has to sigh, and she's got it, you know. The rest of us, we might say, you know, the 54-day novena, and maybe we'll get a little bit. Okay, no, what's the difference is the devotion. So the first quality of prayer is devotion. The more devotion we have, the more love we have, the more God is going to hear our prayer. The greater our love for him, the greater humility by which we approach him, we're going to get more. Even as Our Lady, well, okay, we ask Our Lady so that she will sigh and we get it, right? Okay, sorry. God help me. Okay. Now, we also have, besides devotion, we also would have confidence. We think of like St. Therese of Lisieux, you know, just being so audacious and asking God for things because she had utter confidence, and of course, Our Lady's utter confidence. So she, of course, receives because she so totally trusts in humble reliance. And then besides that, we would have attention. Now, how does the Rosary help us pray with attention? Of course, is the Hail Marys are supposed to be helping us keep ourselves focused on the mystery, to keep us awake. And if we can't stay awake, maybe we need to kneel up. Or if we can't stay awake, maybe we need to walk while we say our rosary or something like that. My rosary walks are right after breakfast, personally. Okay, if I can manage it. And then the last one would be perseverance. And Jesus himself tells at least two parables on perseverance. And if we look at the rosary, what are we doing is we are persevering in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus, even as at that first Pentecost, the disciples in the upper room with the apostles persevere in prayer and so receive what they ask. Okay, the rosary is 15 minutes long unless, you know, some people can do it in 15 minutes. Some people can do it in 20. There are certain Irish pastors that can do it in 10 minutes. Okay. But the idea, of course, is to match the pace that will keep us reverent and attentive, is the idea. But where am I going with that? Okay, so the qualities. Now, one other quality of prayer that can be very powerful and efficacious is saying it together. Okay, so the communal aspect of the rosary. The rosary is a wonderful private devotion. I can personally say it, but it's even more powerful if we say it with others. It can also be penitential that way, but okay. But the whole idea is all of us joining together, as Jesus himself says, right? Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. Okay, so all of these qualities can be found in the rosary and foster these qualities. Okay. Now, All right. Did they already leave? Or do I still have a few minutes? Okay. All right. Learning how to speak with God. And that's what we find in the rosary. Okay, so how did you learn how to talk? How did I learn how to talk? We listened to our parents, and we babbled back at them. And then eventually, things started to make sense, right? We entered into the conversation with our parents and family, and we learned our mother tongue. And if we think about that, that's also how we learn how to pray. Or at least in my case, I don't remember a time that my mom did not tuck us in with the Our Father. So we said, you know, the Our Father, God bless Grandma and Grandma and Grandma and Grandma, and so forth, right? So, and then she tucked us in. So how important it is, and where did we learn to pray, is again through our parents. And what we see is the family rosary is especially an important way in which we can teach our children how to pray communally, how to, the beginnings of, if you would, how to meditate, are all present there in the family rosary. Okay, so Pope Paul VI, I'm just going to read a quote from him, is Vatican II calls the family the domestic church. But if the domestic church never prays, can it really be called the domestic church? Okay, so if this element of common prayer were missing, the family would lack its very character as the domestic church. Thus, there must logically follow a concrete effort to reinstate communal prayer in family life if there is to be a restoration of the theological concept of the family as the domestic church. But there is no doubt that after the celebration of the Liturgy of the Hours, the highest point which family prayer can reach, the rosary, should be considered as one of the best and most efficacious prayers in common that the Christian family is invited to share. We like to think and sincerely hope that when the family gathering becomes a time of prayer, the rosary is a frequent and favored manner of praying. We are well aware that life today does not make family gatherings easy, and that even when such a gathering is possible, many circumstances make it difficult to turn it into an occasion for prayer. But it is characteristic of the Christian in his manner of life not to give in to circumstances, but to overcome them, not to succumb, but to make an effort. Families which want to live in full measure the vocation and spirituality proper to the Christian family must therefore devote all their energies to overcoming the pressures that hinder family gatherings and prayer in common. How beautiful it is when parents do introduce their children to prayer and praying the rosary together as a family. In this way, the children are naturally learning their basic prayers and the beginnings of meditation and contemplation. But for all of us, young or old, simple Catholic or high intellectual theologian, praying the rosary is accessible to everybody. And I think it's marvelous if we see like Pope John Paul with his rosary, Pope Benedict, probably one of the greatest theologians this side of Thomas Aquinas and Augustine, prays the rosary or prayed the rosary. What we see here is how important the rosary is for the penetration of the mysteries of the gospel. Sister Lucia, Our Lady, of course, told the children at Fatima, you need to pray the rosary daily. And so she puts it this way. All people of goodwill can and must say the rosary every day. Why? In order to put ourselves in contact with God, to thank him for his benefits, and ask for the graces we need. It is the prayer which places us in familiar contact with God, like the son who goes to his father to thank him for the gifts he has received, to talk to him about special concerns, to receive his guidance, his help, his support, and his blessing. Do you want your children to stay Catholic? Do you want world peace? Do you want to grow in your own relationship with Christ? Then pray the rosary. Yes? Individually and as a family. Pay heed to Mary's repeated request, not just at Fatima, but at Lourdes and at other apparitions. Okay, now one objection to the rosary is it takes too long. It's boring. Repeat the same prayers. Sound like high school? Yes, sisters, it does. Okay, except for at Colgan, where it's like, okay, we're going to pray the rosary. Okay, I'm going to do this one. I'll do that one. You're just going, I'm in heaven. What happened? Okay. Anyway, all right. But if we look at it, though, it's not vain repetition. If we're doing the rosary correctly, the Hail Marys are there to help focus on the mysteries. And in fact, that's why we count them on beads, right? Is so that we're not saying, okay, was this the first one? Was this the third? What Hail Mary am I on? No, you've got the beads. Well, first of all, we're human beings, right? Incarnational devotion. We're body and soul. So we've got the smells and the bells, right? We've got our beads, we're counting, and because we're doing that, our minds can just say the prayer, kind of like that repeated Jesus prayer, or just that way to keep our focus and attention, but at the same time be able to start thinking about the mysteries of the rosary. And if we think of it, really, this is why it is this prayer, the School of Mary, because if we are praying the rosary with the Hail Marys, it's like she pondered in her heart everything that her son was doing, and yet she also had that echo of the angelic salutation, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And the more we let that sink into our own souls, the more deeply we will penetrate and ponder what it is that Jesus has done. Okay. So there's a lot more, but I'm running out of time. So I'll just end with Pope John Paul in his apostolic letter, Rosarium Virginis Mariae, which he inaugurated the year of the Rosary back in 2002. He gives several suggestions on how to penetrate more deeply into the rosary. And so he calls it the compendium of the gospel, right? All the mysteries of Jesus' life are present. And of course, he added the luminous mysteries to complete the picture. So in these 20 mysteries of the rosary, we do have the entire gospel, that if we're praying it every day, we're also praying, if we're praying five decades every day, then we are getting a very balanced spirituality, right? A balanced picture. So if we tend to be seeking only consolation, we've got the sorrowful mysteries to remind us that we need to suffer with Jesus and offer our sacrifices in union with him. But we also, if we tend to be melancholic and feel like we're in desolation, we've got the joyful mysteries and the glorious mysteries and the luminous mysteries. So if we're praying a daily rosary, our spirituality is being balanced by the contemplation of the entire gospel, not just one part. Okay? He also suggests announcing and maybe a moment of silence before each decade or mystery. Or the hinge prayer. So when we say, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, who became incarnate in your womb, or blessed be the name of Jesus, who was in agony in the garden, or blessed be the fruit of your womb, Jesus, who rose from the dead, if you get the idea. So keeping the focus that way. Or it can be like the scriptural rosary reading, a verse of scripture between each Hail Mary. There's all kinds of different ones. Or one that, being a visual person myself, having a holy card with the 20 mysteries on it, or having a prayer booklet, or I know of several moms who do family rosaries that they have a flip chart of the pictures. And that's one thing that the children get to do to be more involved, right? Okay, you get to flip the mysteries this today, and so-and-so will do it tomorrow, that type of thing. But engage them in contemplating the mysteries through pictures. There are many others that the Pope suggests. And so in my hard copy, I have a link that will, if you click on it, it'll take you to Pope John Paul's full apostolic letter with all the different suggestions that he gives. Okay, so now, of course, all I have focused on in this talk is how the rosary is a school of prayer. I have not talked about all of the power of the rosary, the victories, the conversions, the tremendous graces that the rosary pours upon us. I mean, God gave his infinite treasury of grace into Mary's hands, and she eagerly wants to distribute it, but we have to ask for it. Ask that you might receive, seek that you may find. Okay, so we've got to ask for it. That's why our mother keeps saying, pray the rosary so that I can give these things to you. Because if you don't ask, you're not going to receive. Now, of course, as I say, I don't have time to talk about all the victories and graces and conversions. That would be another talk, or probably several more talks. So with that, I'm going to end this one and say, I hope that you will see the value of the rosary, that it is so worthwhile being in the school of Mary so that she can bring us into greater and fuller union with her Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much. Now there will be refreshments this direction. There will be a